relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Anniversaries. The import of remembering important events of bygone eras. For me, as a child of the Cold War, of course, the end of the Cold War changed my life, the life of my parents who were refugees from a communist regime in Europe. But in the celebrations of those events, we forget all too readily what was happening in Asia. And let's start with that. We have a whole hour with one of the leading experts on the threat China poses to America in the United States, if not the world, with us. And let's start with the footage of the so-called Tank Man, the eponymous individual in Tiananmen Square, 1989. As civilians, the students protested the regime, hoping for some kind of velvet revolution as was happening far away in Eastern Europe, in the Baltic states, in the land of my parents' birth. But it was not to be. That event was mercilessly crushed. Hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent, unarmed Chinese murdered by their own regime. Today, that nation poses the greatest strategic threat to this nation, a threat we have to understand, and we have the right person to help us. A very good friend of the show. He is the author of the U.S.-China Tech War, Gordon Chang. Welcome back to America First One-on-One.
Thank you so much, Seb. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Let's flip our discussion a little bit from what we did last time. You gave a very powerful rendition of why your wife are so vested, and your Twitter account, it's a fillip for me. It recharges my batteries when I see Gordon G. Chang on my timeline daily. You hammer home the iniquity, the evil nature of this regime. You said that at the end of our discussion last time, and it was very powerful, very moving. For those who missed it, for the millions listening to this show right now, will you explain why this is not only the burning issue for you and your wife, but why this should be the burning issue for all who love freedom?
Well, Beijing believes that it is the only sole legitimate government in the world. And they're using the most malicious tactics. You know, we live in a democracy, Seb, and we have a hard time understanding the concept of evil. Well, in China, we are seeing evil tactics, whether it's the deliberate spread of COVID-19 beyond China's borders, whether it's the sale of fentanyl, which is a Chinese Communist Party project. When we look at all of these things, that's the only term that I can think of describes the regime. And it is by far the most important threat to freedom and democracy and to the United States. Personally, my dad came from China in 1945. He landed in San Pedro, port of Los Angeles. He had a Chinese government scholarship. That was the nationalist government that eventually fled to Taiwan.
The Kuomintang.
The Kuomintang, KMT, people call it. And he was permitted to stay in the United States, a generous country. During the middle of the Chinese Civil War, could have sent him back, but didn't. So to me, it's personal. And to my wife, it's even more personal, because she grew up in a colony. Now, that was Hong Kong. It was British. It was relatively benign as a colonial master. But nonetheless, everyone wants to grow up free. And she didn't have that opportunity until she came to this country, until she became a citizen. And that is that what defines her, and that's what defines me.
I want to talk about all of these issues, why it really is the paragon of evil, what happened in 48, the significance of Taiwan today. But for a second, given your wife's background, how much of a geostrategic tragedy of epic proportions is what has happened to Hong Kong in the last decade, Gordon?
What's important here is that Hong Kong was a free and vibrant society. It was, as I mentioned, it was a colony of Britain, but the British were relatively hands-off. And then in 1997, pursuant to the 1984 joint declaration between China and the United States, Britain, as they said, handed it over to the People's Republic. And right now it has become very much, despite promises of autonomy for 50 years under the one country, two systems formula, this high degree of autonomy has now disappeared. China, on June 30 of last year, imposed its national security law on Hong Kong and has now stifled almost all political dissent there. And because Beijing is starting to feel relatively comfortable about Hong Kong, it now has more time and more energy and more focus on Taiwan. And it's just moving from society to society. Because Beijing has made it very clear that they will rule the world. And Seb, it's not just our world we're talking about. Chinese officials now are so bold to say in public that they believe that the moon and Mars should be part of the People's Republic of China. So we're talking about the most ambitious, most aggressive regime ever in history.
Well, we'll talk about those plans momentarily. We're talking to Gordon Chang. Follow him, Gordon G. Chang, on Twitter. Recent headlines with regards to Taiwan are incredibly disturbing for anybody who understands the significance of the overflights, more than 50 military vehicles in one incursion over the airspace of Taiwan, which albeit is a very broad definition of airspace, but it is a sign of force. It is a sign of intimidation. For those who don't know the history of the Kuomintang, of Mao, of 1948, of Formosa and Taiwan, will you explain to the litmus test potential and why Taiwan should be of concern to all those who believe in free nations?
Yeah. Taiwan was once ruled by Chiang Kai-shek of the Kuomintang. He lost the Chinese Civil War to Mao Zedong of the Communist Party, and Chiang fled to Taiwan, and so this is an unresolved civil war. The People's Republic talks about the reunification of China and Taiwan, but that's a really incorrect term because the People's Republic has never ruled Taiwan. And matter of fact, if you look at Chinese history, Taiwan has never been ruled with indisputable sovereignty by a Chinese regime. Both were ruled by the Qing dynasty, but the Qing dynasty was considered to be foreign by Chinese. And the San Francisco Treaty, which ended most aspects of Second World War, did not give indisputable sovereignty to the Kuomintang. People in Taiwan now believe that they're not Chinese, that they self-identify as Taiwanese. And the reason why this is important for us, Seb, is because since the 19th century, we Americans have drawn our Western defense perimeter off the coast of East Asia. Taiwan is in the center of that critical line. It's where the South China Sea and East China Sea meet. But even more important than that, Taiwan is a vibrant democracy. And at a time when Beijing is attacking democracies and the concept of democracy, we can't afford to lose something as important as Taiwan. And one more thing, and that is after the fall of Kabul, our allies were disheartened by the failure of the Biden administration. And so Taiwan has become now the key test of American resolve. If we let China take it, we're not going to have allies in East Asia. We're not even going to have allies in Europe that are worth anything, because people are now looking at the Biden administration so closely over Taiwan.
The former Soviet way of testing is to constantly probe, to fly deeper, to fly more. Is this what you expect in the coming days and weeks, that they're just going to push more and more and more until it's too late?
Yeah, they're going to continue to push. This is just typical Chinese and actually typical communist foreign policy. You know, as Stalin said, with the bayonet, you go as far as you can. And if you hit flesh, you keep going. If you hit bone, you pull back. So this really has been the lesson that communist foreign policy has taken on board. And it is the core of communist foreign policy. And that's exactly what Beijing is doing right now. And we know that Beijing doesn't respect the United States. After the fall of Kabul, we saw this in propaganda narratives that the United States could never counter China because we couldn't deal with the Taliban. They said that Taiwan would fall in hours if Beijing attacked and the U.S. wouldn't come to its defense. And this is not just Afghanistan, because in the middle of March, China sent its top two diplomats to Anchorage to meet Secretary of State Antony Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. And young Josh Scherer, the number one diplomat of China, said very clearly the United States could not talk to China, quote, from a position of strength. So Beijing has been telling us exactly how it feels.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. We've used that footage again and again and again. It is utterly disturbing how that man just did not stand up to the communist Chinese dictatorship. If you enjoy our one-on-one discussions, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast America First. Look for it wherever you get your podcasts. Share these links. Don't miss a single one of them. We launched with President Trump himself. So wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe today. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Gordon in a moment. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's real, pain relief that works, pain relief that's liberated tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That should be you, that could be you, but there's only one way to find out, and it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do, and I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it today. What are you waiting for? 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
And we're back on America First, one-on-one with my friend, Gordon Chang. We have to mention, because it is back in the news again, Gordon, Wuhan, the coronavirus. Now there's even talk of the Nipah virus being involved in one shape or another. My take, as somebody who's worked in a post-communist nation for 15 years, whose parents escaped a communist nation, we will, as long as there is a communist party in China running that dictatorship, we will never ever know the truth, unless of course there is a high level defector that brings the goods out. Are we condemned to just constantly hear the prevarications and the propaganda, or do you think at some point we will find out whether or not it was artificially created, whether or not it was a leak or a weaponization? What's your prognosis?
Yeah, I think we will eventually find out, Seb, but it'll take a little while. And it's precisely for the reason you said. You know, we have had some very brave Chinese souls actually put themselves at risk to come tell us what happened, like Dr. Li Mingyong, who fled from Hong Kong after being threatened. You know, we have heard these voices. But the other thing, of course, is that this virus leaves a trail. And for instance, there are unusual combinations of amino acids, like the double CGG sequence, which does not occur in nature. It only occurs after gene splicing. So we're getting a pretty clear picture about where this came from. And I'm sure that within a couple of years, we will have even more. But there's one thing we know, Seb, 100%, that regardless of where this disease came from, Xi Jinping took decisions that deliberately spread this virus beyond China's borders.
Right.
He lied about contagiousness, and while locking down his own country, he forced other countries to accept arrivals from China without restrictions, without quarantines. That's what spread this disease. And this is the first time in history that one nation has attacked all the others. That we know 100% today.
That's a fascinating, utterly fascinating way of looking at the last 2 years. And it's absolutely correct. Not only that, the discrepancy between which how he dealt with this domestically, the lockdowns, welding people into their homes, and then seeding the world with Chinese quote-unquote tourists who are infected. Not only that, Gordon, I don't know if he has a sense of humor. Is this murderous individual Xi Jinping, is he laughing when Western nations look at Beijing and say, these are the health policy procedures that must be emulated, such as isolating, locking down, quarantining, for the first time in medical history, healthy people. Does that put a wry smile on the face of the CCP?
Well, I think that it does for the reason that they want to weaken the rest of the world, which is the reason why Xi Jinping spread this disease beyond China's borders. And so they see us, you know, as you say, really undermining our economy, our society, taking a whole generation of kids and just destroying their educational process. So Beijing believes that this is important. Remember, China has this doctrine of comprehensive national power. It's a series of metrics they borrowed from the Soviet Union to measure the relative strength of countries. And of course, China wants to be number one. That I don't have a problem with. Every country should want to be number one. But there's two ways to get to be number one. You strengthen your own country, which of course every country should do, or you weaken everybody else. Right. And what China did with the coronavirus, and it's continuing to do today, is try to weaken everybody else.
What is, talk to us about, we'll talk about Xi Jinping in a second. Talk to us about the nature of this country today. But when we arrived in office in the White House, people didn't know it. But if you looked at actual purchasing parity, the power of purchasing power comparatively, the Chinese economy was bigger than ours. By the end of the Trump administration, it wasn't because of the effective Trump trade war, but it was truly stupendous what they had effected as a communist dictatorship. What is China today? Is it a bastardized version of communism where all the big companies that make billions are in fact tied to the party? Or is it, as some have explained, an interwoven, incestuous combination of the party and certain very rich party-affiliated families? How is it best for an outsider who's never lived in a dictatorship to understand the nature of this beast?
Yeah, it's a semi-totalitarian society. You know, a lot of people say, look, China's authoritarian. And you could maybe make the argument that in, let's say, two decades ago, it was authoritarian. But Xi Jinping has really changed that. For instance, he's trying to put in place this nationwide social credit system, which gives every Chinese citizen a score, which is constantly updated based upon observed behaviors.
For a second, because I don't think enough people understand this, and we're seeing elements of this being introduced here in America, with, you know, certain people's bank accounts being canceled, you know, Mike Flynn's wife, because she's Mike Flynn's wife. Social credit sounds innocuous, but we're talking about a blacklist. We're talking, if you don't think and behave right, then the government puts you in a sin bin where you can't fly, you potentially can't travel, you don't go to college. It is truly an Orwellian system that's already in place, is it not?
Yes, it is Orwellian. I think that they had a goal of getting it fully in place by last year. I don't think that they met it, but they are making fast advances actually to putting it in place. Because what they did was they took a number of local experiments and they, with a lot of technology and surveillance cameras and things, are actually bolting it down. And really what this does, as you point out, is if you have a low social credit score, you can't get a mortgage. You can't send your kids to private school. You can't get a bus ticket. So as Chinese officials have explicitly said, that those with high scores can do what they want. those who have low scores can't even move beyond their front door. And so really, this is the ultimate of lockdowns. And this system is being put in place with something like 500 million surveillance cameras, as some people say. We can argue about the number of hundreds of millions of cameras they have, but it is somewhere between 250 and 500 million cameras today. And they've got all the other elements of a coercive society. You've got the Great Firewall, which is the internet controls, the most sophisticated set of them in the world that separates China from the rest of the world. And Xi Jinping is actually closing off China from the rest of the world by making sure that foreign apps, foreign sites don't have any access to the Chinese people. So really, we're moving towards in China to something that Mao Zedong would be familiar with, which is full-on totalitarianism. They're not there yet, but they're moving very fast toward that goal.
And we'll talk about it in a second, but this giant firewall, the fact that you can't, you know, quote-unquote Google Tiananmen Square massacre and get any results if you're in China and you're Chinese, is in large part facilitated, is actually affected by American companies like Alphabet, like Google, like YouTube, that are partners in crime with this dictatorship. We're talking to Gordon Chang, author of The Great U.S.-China Tech War. Follow him at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. Stay with us for more One-on-One here on America First. Do you miss President Trump? I know I do. And now I'm coming to you with a very special offer from my team that you do not want to miss from President Trump. Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photographs of the president, which were hand-signed by President Trump and soon could be hanging up in your house. When President Trump signed these photographs, he wanted to make sure all of his supporters had the chance to receive one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text FHOTO, photo, to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photograph of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You will get exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text photo to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photograph. You don't want to miss this. Our contest ends soon. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
The most awesome pipes in talk radio. Sebastian Gorka.
Let's continue One-on-One with Gordon G. Chang. Let's jump straight in. We just mentioned it. Explain why you use this phrase for your latest publication. You can find Gordon's work at gordonchang.com. What is this great tech war between America and China? And how does this quote-unquote company, Huawei, fit into it?
China wants to dominate all the world's technologies. And we saw a hint of this in their Made in China 2025 initiative, which they took 10 critical sectors and said that they wanted to be self-sufficient and they wanted to have the world's best technology in them. They added an 11th sector, which was 5G, the fifth generation of wireless communication. That's the Internet of Things. That's where you have everything connected to the internet, including your front door, your car, your pacemaker, you know, just everything. And Huawei was their national champion. It was the world's number one maker of telecom networking gear. And until the Trump administration got a hold of it, it was looking like it was going to wire the entire world. Why this is important is because if you can wire the world, you can steal the world's data. And you steal the world's data, you put it into artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence systems, even if their technology isn't as good as ours, and there's a debate about that, but even if it isn't, AI systems run on data. And China can put all the data in the world into it, And we're a democracy, so we have pretty strict restrictions on what we can feed into our AI systems. And that means with better AI, China will have more efficient manufacturing, it will have better nuclear weapons, you name it. So Huawei is at the center of that, and the Trump administration put Huawei on the Commerce Department's entity list, which means that American companies cannot conduct transactions with Huawei without a prior license from Commerce in areas which are covered by the Export Administration rules, which are pretty extensive. So that's why Huawei is important.
Let me attempt to illustrate this in layman's terms. What we're talking about is if Microsoft, if IBM, if Google, if Nokia were all hoovering up the data that they do and giving it to the American government, and the American government, all of it, and the American government were a communist dictatorship. That's the analogy, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, you put your finger on something really important, and that is that China has been able to do this with American technology, with Cisco, which helped build the Great Firewall, which we just talked about, with Microsoft, which is providing facial recognition technology, with a host of American universities that are advising China in Xinjiang, where the Turkic minorities are, the Uyghurs and the Kazakhs. This has really been a project of American business that have built a semi-totalitarian, soon-to-be totalitarian system in China.
Talk to us. We've mentioned him several times already. How does Xi Jinping fit into this? Is he comparable to prior communist dictators in China? The change he made to the constitution a couple of years ago, is he just the new face of the communist emperor? How does he fit into everything that we're discussing?
Well, Xi Jinping has grabbed enormous power since he's been General Secretary of the Communist Party since November 2012. Mao Zedong, the founder of the People's Republic, for a time was a complete dictator. He had much more power than anybody else. He was able to make decisions on his own. What we saw after that with his successors, Deng Xiaoping, Jiang Zemin, Hu Jintao, is the Communist Party at the top became consensual, which meant that the senior leaders, a handful of them, five or six, seven, sometimes fewer than that, decisions that were made in China were shared by everybody, which meant that nobody got too much credit, nobody got too much blame. Xi Jinping, when he became General Secretary, grabbed power from everybody else, and the system was no longer consensual. And this means that Xi Jinping has clearly almost complete accountability. And that's great if you're Xi Jinping in 2017, where everything is going China's way, because you get all the credit, because these are your policies. Nobody else can claim credit. But in 2021, if you're Xi Jinping and your policies are being blamed across the board, it's not very good to be Xi Jinping, which means this guy now has a very low threshold of risk, Seb, because not only does he have near complete accountability, he also has raised the cost of losing political struggles. Yeah. When he took over in 2012, if you lost a political struggle in Beijing, you got a nice house. And now what's happened is you lose political power, you go to jail, you lose your assets, who knows what happens. So Xi Jinping right now has a very, very low threshold, which means he can surprise us because he's extremely dangerous.
Yeah, it's good to be king when everything's working well. When it isn't, it's not good to be king, and things can get very dicey very quickly. I've done something I can guarantee no one else in my audience has done. I've sat across the table with the man who formulated the process behind Balance of Nature, Dr. Douglas Howard, doctor, professor, scientist, one of the most brilliant health experts you'll ever meet, and I know him. When he described to me his 20-year journey that resulted in one of those powerful supplements on the market today, I knew I had to start taking it. You will probably never have the privilege of meeting Dr. Howard as I have, but you can make the same decision I did to get those 10 daily servings from 31 different fruits and vegetables, all derived from Dr. Howard's process. Believe me when I say Balance of Nature is the real deal. For a limited time, all new preferred customers receive a 35% additional discount and free shipping on your first order. Use discount code GORKA. Call 800-246-8255. 800-228-751 or go to balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka. That's 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, code Gorka.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to One-on-One with Gordon Chang. What is the reality when people hear the phrase slave labor camps and forced organ donation? A lot of people glaze over and say, that's not possible anywhere in the world. How bad is it in China if you're from the wrong ethnic or religious or political group, Gordon?
Yeah, they've got detention centers in what they call the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, which is the northwest part of the country, and which the Uyghurs believe is East Turkestan, an independent state. In those detention camps, there have been somewhere between 1 to 3.3 million people. And Seb, although they don't have an extermination campaign like the Third Reich, we know that Uyghurs and Kazakhs are dying in large numbers because they're building crematoria next to those camps. Now, in addition to that, China has a policy which is essentially institutionalized rape. Officials rape Uyghur women, and this is part of what Beijing wants. In terms of, you mentioned slave labor, China has industrialized slavery. What they have done is they've taken the Turkic minorities and they offer labor, their labor, to foreign and domestic companies around the country. So to give you an example, there's a company that you may have heard of, which is called Nike, which, by the way, likes to lecture the American people on racism. Well, through a sub-Korean contractor who they have had a relationship over the course of decades, they had a factory which looked like a concentration camp in Qingdao, which is the northeastern part of that country, where Nike's shoes were being made. And that means that these Uyghur women were transported 1,000 miles across China to work in a prison-like facility, which means that Nike was taking advantage of slave labor. But this is even worse. This is slave labor of a racial and religious and ethnic minority. So, you know, when Nike tells you about racism in America, we all need to just say Qingdao.
Yeah.
They were using slave labor of a racial minority.
Isn't there a broader point to be made here? We're talking to Gordon Chang. Follow him, GordonChang.com, and Gordon G. Chang on Twitter, author of the Great U.S.-China Tech War. Isn't there a larger issue here? And, you know, I'm biased. My dad escaped from a communist political prison. But isn't there a moral aspect to all of this? It's not just the state of the American economy and buying garbage goods made in China that, you know, break after 3 minutes. Why are we doing trade at... Is it unrealistic to raise the question, why on earth are we doing any trade with a nation that has institutionalized slave labor?
I mean, it's morally wrong. And, you know, we didn't go through all of the things that Beijing is doing to the Uyghurs and the Kazakhs. This is morally wrong. But also, this is, you know, we have an administration right now. President Biden loves multilateral organizations and multilateral treaties and the rest of it. Well, we're a party to the Genocide Convention of 1948, which requires us to prevent and to punish acts of genocide. And we know that because in Article 2, what China is doing constitutes genocide under the convention. So even if we didn't have a moral bone in our body, we have a legal obligation. But this is horrific. We are seeing atrocities which are comparable to what the Third Reich did prior to the mass exterminations that began in 1941. I mean, there are no words to describe this. So, Seb, we shouldn't be trading with China for this reason alone.
Yeah.
There are other reasons, but for this reason alone.
Then COVID-19 and everything else. Talk to us for a moment, Gordon. The state of the church, the state of the underground Christian movement. It isn't just Muslims who are in trouble. What's the status of people who believe in Jesus if they live in communist China?
Yeah. Xi Jinping is going after all faith. You know, people like to say, well, you know, the Uyghurs and the Kazakhs, they're Muslims, they're ethnic minorities, that's why they're doing that. And then other people say, well, you know, they're just going after foreign religions like Christianity. But Seb, they're going after Buddhists, which are considered to be a Chinese religion. So this is a real attempt to eliminate all faith. So China has been taking crosses off churches. It's been demolishing churches. It's been reinterpreting the Bible. It's been putting pictures of Xi Jinping in place of those of Jesus Christ in altars. It has been putting Christians in jail. They now got these mobile transformation, quote unquote, centers where Christians are put into dark basements for months at a time, trying and being tortured to force them to give up their faith. But, you know, there's a good story here, and that is, for despite all that Beijing is doing, they're losing when it comes to house Christians. There's perhaps maybe 112,000, maybe 120,000 Christians in China, most of them in unofficial, what they call house congregations, yes, informal gatherings of Christians. Beijing can't control this. And basically, in the fight between Christianity and communism, Christianity is winning.
120,000? Is that all?
120 million. So,
million.
I'm sorry.
Yes, that's what I thought. Yeah, 120 million. That sounds like it. That's exciting. Yeah. That's exciting. Guys, let me give you a very simple suggestion. Let's start at home. Let's start not buying products made in a communist dictatorship, the biggest in the world, one that has persecution of our brethren in Christ, persecution of those that are politically suspect because they're not communists. Stop buying Chinese products. One place where we have guaranteed that only U.S. products are sold is on our website. So check it out today. Whatever you need, it's America First gear. It's pro-Trump, pro the MAGA movement, T-shirts, amazing hoodies, tumblers, you name it. And they're all made in America, every single last one of them. That's SebGorkaStore.com. It's an easy way to start. And then you can be a little bit more sophisticated when you're buying something. Look at it, see where it's made, but start with one place where we guarantee it is all made in America, SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorkaStore.com. Likewise, if you enjoy one-on-one, support those that make the show possible. People like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, the pillow that never gets soft, never loses shape, never gets hot, supports your head through the night. Get up to 66% off if you use my name. That's MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or just call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You have all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You will receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98, now only $19.98. You'll also receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products, such as the MyPillow towels, mattress topper, my slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to receive Mike's standard pillow for just $19.98 or call 1-800-829-8468. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty, so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-829-8468. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, 1-800-829-8468.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
Welcome back to One on One with Gordon G. Chang. We've just got a couple of minutes left, Gordon. I know President Trump is running. He will get the nomination. If we can prevent voter fraud, he will become the 47th president of the United States, unless Kamala comes in between, and then he'll be the 48th. Either way, he'll be back in the White House. What has to happen day one? Of course, he'll just flick the switch and he'll, you know, reinvigorate all the things he did with regards to China when we were in the White House. But things have developed since then. We've got a supply chain disaster, 200,000 containers off the coast of California. What else needs to be done? What else would you like to, if you were there in the Oval, what would you tell President Trump is the next phase of dealing with this threat?
Invoke the International Emergency Economic Powers Act of 1977, or I would prefer invoke the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917 to do what you talked about before, which is to cut trade, to prevent investment into China, to throw out China's agents in the U.S., to prevent Chinese nationals from our country from committing espionage, to end all technical cooperation agreements with China, and to prevent China from buying any of our companies, especially tech companies. But also one final thing, and that's reciprocity. I mean, China doesn't allow our media into China, so why do we allow Chinese media into our country?
Yes.
China bans our apps. Why do we allow TikTok in our country? And one of the things that President Trump did was to ban TikTok and WeChat, although those are overturned by the Biden administration. And finally, you know, we can't have a Reagan Institute in China. So why do we allow Confucius Institutes on our college and university campuses? And by God, we've got to get rid of the 500 Confucius classrooms in our secondary school. We must impose reciprocity.
My expectation would be if that were done, if the 1917 law were invoked, if we demanded reciprocity, if we played even harder hardball, I think the international community would follow. Do you concur, Gordon?
Yes, they're going to have to follow because of the strength of the U.S. economy.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says, Seb, that China is the engine of global growth. Well, yes, China has had growth, not now, has had growth, but it's not the engine of global growth. Because to be the engine of global growth, you got to buy the goods and services of other countries to create growth elsewhere. That's the U.S. because we run these trade deficits.
Yes.
And by the way, China, with its criminal and predatory trade policies, takes growth from other countries. So other countries need us because we are the engine of global growth. Their economy needs ours.
I wish we could continue. We're out of time, but you will be back. I just want to say thank you again to you, to Lydia, to constantly telling the truth with courage. This isn't a question of economics or national security alone. It is primarily a moral question. And given the nature of what this nation represents as the only one founded on individual freedom and liberty, it's time to change how we deal with the world's largest communist dictatorship. God bless you. Follow him at Gordon G. Chang. Get his book, The Great U.S.-China Tech War, and GordonChang.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.